We're beginning a new series in the Medrash Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. When we learn Medrash, so we have to know that Medrash is the secrets of Torah. People know Zohar is the secrets of Torah, but not only Zohar. All Medrash is really the secrets of Torah, encased in a simplistic story-like way. Some Midrashim are telling you the literal meaning. Most Midrashim are telling you much more than that. Midrashim were written in code. And so when you hear a Medrash, you have to realize that there are multiple levels of interpretation to the Medrash. If you don't have a tradition and you don't know the code, so then you got to be very careful, because if you're going to offer an interpretation, you could be far out. You could just be inventing. This isn't Shakespeare. In Shakespeare, you can invent interpretations. It's fine. It doesn't really matter. If you got it right, you got it wrong. It doesn't matter. In Medrash, it's a world of a difference. You're trying to understand the secrets of Torah when you're understanding Medrash. So you have to learn the code and the system to decipher the Medrash. But Shlomo HaMelech taught us a rule in the beginning of Mishlei. And his rule is that when smart people talk, even when they say allegories, there must be a message in the literal meaning of what they're saying. There must be a message in the storyline. You can't just say that the essence of what I mean to say is the message of the story. No, the literal story has to teach us something. Shlomo HaMelech says the way wise people say an allegory is Lavin Mashal Umelitza. You have to understand the literal story, because the literal story teaches you something. Then you have to understand what the story is alluding to and the message behind it. What happens if you don't know the message? You don't remember, you don't understand, you didn't learn. All you see is a simple story. Well, smart people, the way they talk, even their simple stories, have a correct message. And so when we read Medrash, we're firstly reading it the way it was said in public speeches to the layman, to understand the literal story and get a message from it. Should every verse, should every line in Medrash be taken literally? No. Some things are fantastic and some things were meant, obviously, not to be taken literally. It's a hard call. We don't always know if the Medrash meant literally or not. But our learning at this stage is so that we learn the story. The Medrash will give us tremendous insights into all of Tanakh. And the Medrash teaches us ethics. And the Medrash teaches us the values of Torah. And even though we will learn it knowing that there is a much deeper meaning that we are yet to understand, we will benefit greatly from the literal reading of Medrash. We just have to bear in mind that there's much more at play here than meets the eye. And without further ado, let's actually begin the Medrash, Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. This is one of the most ancient Midrashim that we have. This dates back to the period of the Second Temple. And we begin. Ma'aseh Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkanus. The Medrash begins with the story of Rabbi Eliezer, the son of the great philanthropist Hurkanus. Shayu l'aviv choshin. Mayu choshin al gabei amanah v'yahu choresh b'tlashim. His father had them plowing. And everyone else was plowing the straight flat lands. And he was plowing where it was rocky and difficult. Obviously, Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkanus was a powerhouse, because he could handle the areas that were very hard to plow. Yashav lo v'haya v'ochei. So this great worker, Rabbi Eliezer, sat down and cried. Amar lo aviv mipnei ma ata v'ochei. His father says, why are you crying? Shema mitzdelta shata choresh bitrashin. Maybe you're upset that you're plowing where there are so many rocks and it's difficult. Ashavta choresh al gabei amanah. No problem, Eliezer. You could go up and plow with everyone else on the easy terrain. Yeshav lo al gabei amanah v'ya bochei. So he went up to the easy terrain, sat down and started crying. Amalo mipnei mata bochei. His father says, why are you crying? Shema mitzdelta shata choresh al gabei amanah. Are you upset that you're plowing on the easy terrain? Amar lo lav. He said, no. V'lama ata bocheh? So Hurkanus asked him, why are you crying? Amar lo shani mevakesh lilmod Torah. Eliezer says, I want to learn Torah. Amar lo, so his father said to him, v'alo ben 28 shanim ata. You're 28 years old. V'ata mevakesh lilmod Torah? Now you want to go learn Torah? Torah was for when you were a child. You know, the five-year-olds learn Torah. Now you want to go learn Torah. You want marry a woman, have children, and take those children to learn. Children learn Torah. Who learns Torah at age 28? Time to get married, have kids, let them learn Torah. Yes.
Why did he seemingly very suddenly at age 28 have this burning desire to learn Torah? And two, it seems like he comes from an extremely wealthy family, so why wouldn't his father have paid for a Torah education when he was younger?
It seems that in ancient times, not everyone learned Torah. Torah was for those who really wanted it and were willing to pay a price for it and worked hard for it. Only later on in Jewish history did the rabbis establish an education system where every town had a Rebbe, and it was part of the institution of how you build the town, just like you have to have a shul, you have to have education for the kids. And so it could be that this just wasn't the end thing. The period is, Rav Lez ben Hyrcanus is the end of the Second Temple. It's after the Greeks and Hellenism. It's during the Herodic dynasty. Rav Lez ben Hyrcanus is living towards the end of the Second Temple. So you have academies, you have people learning, you have tremendous persecution against people who learn Torah. And so this is the last, this is the final century. Rabbi Eliezer is a disciple of Hillel. So Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus is still going to live well after the destruction of the temple. He's going to teach Rabbi Akiva. It seems that this is taking place under Roman rule. There are many decrees not to learn Torah. It wasn't easy. It was life-threatening. And so it could be that's how he fell through the cracks. Tells him, marry a woman, have kids. You'll take them to learn Torah. Asa, what was your two questions?
He's randomly at age 28, his light bulb in the head, or like...
What happened that he suddenly started crying that he wants to learn Torah? I don't know.
Because even if you're... Yeah, it seems like it's very, like, much for it, like, no random on part.
I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened that he suddenly wanted to learn Torah. It could be part of his father's argument was that you're not going to succeed anymore. You're too old. You're missing the background. You don't know anything. What are you ever going to... It'll take you so long to learn the Aleph Beis and the Torah. It's not going to work. So it's not worth your time. Asa shtei shabbatot velo ta'am klum. He fasted for 2 weeks. And he's asking the Ribbono shel Olam, help me out here. Tell me what I'm supposed to do. Who can I learn from? Help me succeed in learning. I want to succeed and understand my learning. So he didn't know what to do. He's at a loss. So he's fasting and he's praying and he's crying. He tried so hard, but he didn't know what to do until Elio appears to him. When a person tries, so Elio comes and helps him. He said to him, he came to him and said, son of Hyrcanus, why are you crying? He says, because I want to learn Torah. He said, you want to learn Torah? Go up to Jerusalem. It's Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Go learn by the great Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. He is the teacher of Israel. That's where you will be able to learn Torah. Amad, Ba'alach, Etzel Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So he did that. He went to Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai, Yashav lo v'ya boche. He comes up to the chief rabbi, sits next to him, and starts crying. Amar lo mipnei ma ata boche. Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai says, why are you crying? Amar lo mipnei shani mbakesh l'mod Torah. He says, because I want to learn Torah. Amar lo ben mi ata. So Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai asks him, whose son are you? So he didn't want him to know. He's running away from home. He's 28 years old, but he doesn't want him to know who his father is. His father kept trying to stop him from learning Torah. He's pretty upset at him that he's learning Torah. He doesn't want word to get back to his father. So he doesn't say. He also doesn't want to shame his father. Now the chief rabbi is going to know that his father didn't give him a Jewish education. So he's not going to say who his father is. So he doesn't say. V'lo yigid lo. He doesn't answer the Rebbe. Amar lo miyamecha lo lamata kiyashma v'lo shlav lo b'chata mazoni. He says, don't you know the biblical mitzvos? You know how to read Shema? You know how to pray? You know how to bench? Amar lo lav. So Rabbi Lezman Hurkanos says, no, I didn't. Wow. Wow. Amar lo amod v'alamdcha shloshtan. So he says, stand up. I'll teach you all three. So those are three mitzvot that are relevant every day, right? Every day you got to read Shema, you got to pray, you got to bench. Yashav haya boche. So Rabbi Elazar ben Hurkanos sits down and starts crying. Amar lo bnim ibnim ata boche. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, why are you crying? Amar lo shanim bakesh lilmod Torah. He says, I want to learn Torah. You're teaching me how to be a kosher Jew. That's very nice. That's not what I came here for. I want to learn Torah. V'ya omer lo shtei halachot kol yemei ha-shavua. Every day of the week, including Shabbos, Rabbi Elazar ben Hurkanos would come to him and he would teach him two halachot. V'ya chozer lo alein u'medabekan. And Rabbi Elazar ben Hurkanos would review them again and again, try to understand them, why this way, why that way, what about if it happens this way, what about if it happens that way, question them, analyze them, two halachot a day, until they stuck. For 8 days he didn't have any normal food. So he's eating grass, he's eating mud, he's not eating anything normal. It reached a point where Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai smells a very foul odor from his mouth. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, when we learn, you stand there. He puts him at the edge of the room. Yashav haya boche. Rabbi Elazar ben Hurkanos sat down and started crying. Amar lo mipnei ma ata boche. He asked him, why are you crying? Amar lo mipnei shematani mipanecha kadam shemamid mipanam mukei shechin. He says, you're treating me as though I have some kind of disease you don't want to catch from me. So you're making me stand far away from you when you teach me. Amar lo bni, kishem shalach reach picha milfanai. He said, my son, just as the smell from your mouth came up before me, kach yale reach chukei Torah mipicha lashamayim. So too the smell of the laws of Torah, the statutes of Torah, should go up to the heavens. Amar lo bni ben miata. He says, okay, son, whose son are you? You're not eating anything. Whose son are you? Amar lo ben Hurkanos ani. He says, well, I'm the son of Hurkanos. Amar lo valo ben gdole olamata. He says, you're the son of the important people of our generation. Your father is the greatest philanthropist here. You didn't tell me. Amar lo velo haita magid li. Why didn't you tell me? Amar lo chayecha yom tosed etzi. He says, I swear today you're eating by me. He says, nah, I already ate by my the guy whose house I'm sleeping by. He says, who are you staying by? He tells him, Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Yossi HaKohen. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai doesn't think this is true. So he sends word to Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Yossi and he asks, he asks them, has Eliezer eaten by you today? They said, no. So they said, we thought he was eating by you all week. It's been 8 days since he came. We thought he was eating in yeshiva. They realized for 8 days he hasn't had any normal food. So the two of them came over to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. They didn't count on the messenger. They themselves traveled and they told Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, it's been 8 days, he hasn't eaten anything. So right away they understood that this guy is really for real. He's doing what he can to learn Torah. He didn't come to Machon Meir for the extraordinary lunches we give here. He came to learn Torah. So days turn into weeks. Weeks turn into months. And Hyrcanus's other sons, they're working out in the field. Eliezer's not there. He obviously doesn't care for the family wealth. So they tell the father, Dad, you got to go up to Jerusalem and place an ostracism on Eliezer. He should not have a portion in your lots. He turned his back on all of us. Runs away from home like that. He ascended to Jerusalem to ostracize Eliezer from all his wealth. It was a holiday that just made a siyum by Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai. He invited everyone. All the philanthropists of Jerusalem was there. Busy day. And Rabbi Yochanan, they're all sitting together having a siyum, and in comes Hyrcanus, and he's intent on ostracizing his son Eliezer. What he doesn't know is that by now Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and his son Eliezer have a very close relationship. His son Eliezer has become quite learned, and they invite him to sit at the dais at the head table. Eliezer doesn't know his father's there. The father doesn't know Eliezer is there. The only one who understands what's going on is Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai sees Hyrcanus come in, and Hyrcanus is interested in ostracizing his son Eliezer because he turned his back on all of us. Who knows where he went to? He says he wants to learn Torah, and he leaves the work. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai welcomes Hyrcanus as one of the great philanthropists. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is the leader of the Jewish people at the time. He is the Nasi, and Hyrcanus sits at the head table next to him, and Eliezer is learning. He doesn't know his father's there. The father doesn't know the son's there. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai knows what's going on, and we'll see how the story plays out. Bezu Hashem next week.